حضرت ابو حریرہ رضی اللہ عنہ stated in this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, and the narrator is Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, and he said that we, the Sahaba, were present in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and rajulun, a person came, and taqalu nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the person who came, stated or requested in the presence, in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Sunni, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please give me some nasiha, please give me some advice. So all hadith are, alhamdulillah, important. And anything gathered and learned from the blessed company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for somebody to come there and to make a request or put forward a question, is a great opportunity to ask for nasiha. Because nasiha, advice, is then it becomes part of the deen, part of Islam. Because the nasiha of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is obviously deen. So the question he put forward, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although the questioner who put forward the question put forward a very concise question, Rasulullah's answer was even more concise than that, but full of blessing, full of impact. So even though the words are few, but the impact is very massive, and nothing can compare to that. So the request was, and Rasulullah gave the answer. So the request came, simple request, and a beautiful answer came. And the answer that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave wasn't very long-winded and complicated. Rather, it was very concise, as I said. And it hints us towards, or it guides us towards something that's bad. In other words, it makes apparent something that's not good. Now, a sin is such an action about which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that even if there is a bad action as wide as the hair's width, in other words, hair's width, nothing, isn't it? It's very thin, you can't even see it. Then save yourself from the sin. Even something the hair's breadth, the width of a hair, if there's something that's bad, then save yourself from that thing. Oh, subhanallah. So this is not a story. This is not some sort of choice. This is the nasiha of the imam of the prophets, the head of the prophets for his ummah. It's not a little bit of guidance or just something mentioned in passing. And if you do tashri and commentary or analysis of this, you will reach to the heights. Why? Why did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us this? That if you have an evil action or a sin or something bad or a misdeed, even if it's equivalent to the weight of an atom or a speck of dust or the width of a hair, what will be the effect of that action? It will make that person who sins closer to a certain destination. What is that destination? What is that place? Every sin will make us close. Every sin I commit, we commit, you commit, we do a bad action, that the result, the net result of that action is that we will get closer to a destination. What is that destination? If we see the darkness of that destination, then all of the darkness of the universe, of this world, of the planet Earth, if you gather it and put it together, it cannot even be equivalent to an atom's weight of the darkness of that destination we will get closer to if we do a wrong action. Forget the word atom. The fire and the heat of that destination, how hot is it? If you gather all of the centigrade and the Celsius and all the climates of the world and pull them together, combine them, mix them, and even then they cannot reach to a speck of the heat, an iota of the heat of that destination that we are drawn closer to as a result of sin or bad deeds. So that's what a sin does. Punishment. Punishment and adab, difficulties, we cannot imagine what is lying in wait and what level they are at that destination. We cannot imagine. In the hadith it stated that Jahannam, hellfire, 1,000 years initially, 1,000, when Jahannam, hellfire, was created,
This is the hellfire. Not 1,000 years of this world, 1,000 years of the hereafter. It was burnt, hell, and it became white in color. Then a further 1,000 years, hell was burnt, and then it became from white first, then it became black. Yeah, black. And that blackness, that is the form that hell is in at the moment. White to red to black. And its heat, its heat is such that if you put the pin, you know, the needle there, if we put the pin needle, if it is exposed, hellfire, to the universe, even the width of a pin's head, then nothing of the universe will remain, will exist after that. This is hadith. This is not a story. Why? Mubashshiran wa nadhira. Rasulullah came as Mubashshir and Nadhira. He came on one side. Subhanallah, he told us all the good things and about the good deeds and glad tidings of rewards and treasures, the palaces of paradise and the noor. And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us about bad and sin and he would then direct us towards the consequence of hellfire. So this is the consequence of sin. What is lying in store for the sinner? And I said, our choice, what do we want to go towards? What do we want? And a muballigh, a speaker, or a guide, or a teacher, or a sheikh, is his duty to deliver the same message to the whole dunya, just like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. Whether people understand or not, whether they like it or not, that's their choice. But what is it? The same message that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam delivered to his sahaba, to the ummah. My hazrat, my sheikh gave me the hukum. When I speak, I'm not some mad person, I just speak in front of everyone in any gathering. Hazrat gave me hukum that before dhikr, definitely mention hadith or a bayan. Give some sort of communication. The objective is not dhikr. The objective is rectification of the people. Maybe something you say will drop into the heart of someone. Allah will be merciful and graceful to somebody. Thousands of people listen, hundreds of thousands over time. And don't think that everybody will be corrected and reformed. Subhanallah. Don't think that, and that, oh, you're giving a speech and the whole gathering say, oh yeah, we all do tawbah. 70 years they may listen to you, but then nothing will change for that person. But one person will come within a second, he will be reformed. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَن يَشَاءُ. So don't look at the faces and that gives you depression. Don't think about it that these people aren't changing. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi gave the direction that Allah Ta'ala said to Rasulullah, why do you worry, O my Nabi? Why do you exhort so much energy after these people? If I will, I will correct these people. But in their hearts is a veil, is like a rock. Who can correct them? So my brothers, when I speak, it's for my islah, for my own rectification. For those brothers, listen, I don't have the desire to give a speech or a lecture, or nor do I have the demand or the need or the necessity. I'm just a da'i, and my sheikh gave me the order to do tabligh, that go, tell people deen, explain to them, and not with this fikr, that if I say it, the whole world should listen and run after me and be a part of my group. No, with this niyyah, that if one person in my whole life, if I speak and one person comes on the right path, that's good enough, alhamdulillah. So this is not my standard, this brother's not changing, he's not getting better, I haven't got this group, so many people running after me. No, if I speak now, and after speak and I see with my own eyes the reaction that those brothers are sitting down, he's starting to do this action. No, this is not the case. I don't have this desire, I don't have this fikr. Why? Because this is the hukam which I am implementing. I don't have an expectation of who is going to be reformed or improved, or somebody suddenly comes onto the thing. Nor do I have this thought. This is the hukam of my hazrat, of my sheikh, and I have implemented it and I'm implementing it. And after that, speaking is not my kamal, not is my quality. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It's Allah Ta'ala's fadl that He instills into my mind something that I speak and I discuss with you and I share with you. So we should have qadr though of what we are speaking about, what we are discussing, because maut will come, death will come, and it's Allah's great mercy that He delivers such a messenger. This is not a joke. Today, nowadays, to speak, to listen to speeches, to give bayanat and lectures and daras, this has become a tradition today. A tradition. And the people who are the masters, they know about this is their field. This is not my field. I've come here, I'm just doing this on a mission. The four or five brothers are sitting and I've got a hukum from behind me, my ustad, my sheikh, and he said that, explain what is dhikr and what is the remembrance of Allah, and we should do dua. Better than this, Allah, whatever words we've understood and we're discussing and sharing, make our hearts expand to absorb these, because there's big adab coming after. Now this description of Jahannam, hellfire, the detail I've given to you, is this not enough for our qawm? Into which we will go. Nafs deceives us. Nafs, the ego, the base desires will deceive us. But what will happen? Allah Ta'ala says that you should go towards the goodness. Don't go after the bad. The ahadith were formed. They were delivered to us. Rasulullah was mubashiran wa nadhira. He delivered the message to the ummah. The sahaba ikram implemented. The mashayikh ikram, the pious predecessors before us, practiced this. And deen spread in the world. And alhamdulillah, we know the difference between the good and the bad. So what I'm trying to say is everything is haq. From Rasulullah, everything that came was right and correct. And what he said is truth. And there is Jahannam, there is hellfire, and there is Jannah, there is paradise. And the way he explained it to the minutest detail, that is the facts. That is what is going to happen. And we have to understand what great blessed statements were uttered by Rasulullah. And when Rasulullah was told this, and he was revealed this, can you imagine when Jibreel told Rasulullah about the hereafter and what was to come? Can you imagine his hal? Otherwise, this is a very long hadith. What was the state and emotion and the condition of Rasulullah after he heard the words of the hereafter? What is lying in store? So brothers, Jahannam, hell is a place which is in existence, and there's a car that takes the people, the journeymen, the passengers to hell. And what is that car? It is called sin. It is called the bad deeds. So when a person does bad deeds and sins, he goes towards the hellfire. He's driving to hell. He's driving to hell. To this extent that he reaches so close to hell, that only maut is left. Maut comes and then he drops into hell. So while a person's sinning, doing bad actions, he's actually driving to Jahannam, driving to hell. And when maut comes, he falls into Jahannam. Because he's going to... There's no person who can reject these facts and the laws and the principles. That sin and bad actions attract mankind. And not big sins. Even the sin which is akin to the speck of dust, weight the same weight as an atom, the breadth of a hair, the thickness of a hair, and if we implement that, it will take us in the car to hell, hellfire, and we get 24 hours in the day. And we have the night as well. Remember, a person commits sin even more in the night. We have the day, we have the night, 24 hours. And how many breaths do we breathe in and out? Exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale. Every breath can produce a sin. Can you imagine that how careful and cautious we have to be, and how fast this journey is progressing, that we are being dragged towards the hereafter. And the conclusion is 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, this is our age. And in this time, all of the moments that we lived will drag us towards one of the conclusions, good or bad in the hereafter. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, he's explaining to us that beware, beware, don't consider what I'm saying as minor. It's not a minor thing. It's not a small thing. You're being dragged towards what? The negative conclusion, hell, punishment. And remember this, that you won't get a chance to turn back. The person, when he starts traveling today, tomorrow, oh, I'll wait till tomorrow, I'll wait till the next day, I'll wait there, but never will it come tomorrow. Maut will come first, and the person gets closer then to the destination, and he's then given that conclusion. We're sitting here, oh, let's do this, Fatiha, recite for this brother, let's go to his grave, do dua for him, but look down below, where's that person gone? If you want to see, look at the history of that person. His lifestyle, people in the house, in the family know, his relatives, what was his history, what was his lifestyle, what was his framework, who will save him now, how will we save him? Whatever you want to do it yourself now while you're living, while you're breathing. Whatever you want to earn, take with you to thereafter, do it now. There's no way, no path, no success. There's nothing, no greater example than this, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told his beloved daughter, O Fatima, be careful about this point. Don't think that your father, he is the head of the prophets, and when you go into the grave and you will be forgiven, you will have to pay an account for your deeds. Don't be hopeful that your father was the head of the Nabis and he will intercede for you and you will be saved. No, you have to account for your deeds. This is the story and this is the reality. Save yourself from the sins. Save yourself from the sins, from bad actions, from negative action. And this is the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Sahih hadith. Not a minor hadith, a major hadith. And it's trying to explain to us, we need to catch it, just like the Sahaba Ikram caught it. So the man came, said, oh Sonny, give me some advice. They could have just ignored it, not listened. But Alhamdulillah, rahmatullil alamin, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatullil alamin. He had the answer for the questions, and the answer came from rahmah, from the mercy of Allah. And if you caught hold of the answer, like the flower, the fragrance would take you to Jannah, and the doors of hell would be closed. My brothers, do amal. Amal, practice these majalis. We should appreciate, value these gatherings. This is not a gathering of wasting time. This is islah, rectification. Come to this gathering and grab hold of the rectification. If we understand the meaning of this majlis, then we'll understand that we have fulfilled the objective of our life. All our life we sit down, we waste time. And if I say to you, I ask you, what nasiha did I give you yesterday? Can you remember? Hands up if you remember. Yeah, don't just put it up if you don't know. You're sitting in the masjid. That what was the heading of the bayan? What were the words that I mentioned yesterday? What was the title of the bayan? Does anybody know? Who if I ask? Shall I ask? Okay. This brother. What was the title? Why don't you speak then? So, this is what we should enjoy. That I am the teacher and you are the students. And in reality, you are my teachers and I am your student. But I said this for this reason, that because you weren't speaking. So we should know. We should have this feeling that all night long that bayan should revolve and rotate in our minds, in our brains while we're lying down. This is the enjoyment. It should absorb into our heads the bayan. The message. Alhamdulillah, I'm so grateful to Allah that this is my hal. That all night long, when I speak and I leave it all night long, it's in my mind, the words revolve, rotate, and they are there, they absorb, and every toss and turn in the night, that subhanAllah, what did I say, what was this, what did this mean, what was the discussion we just had? So this is the point here, that if such a message is coming to us and we waste it, we don't understand it, we waste it, that mashallah, all the words that I say, they should be absorbed. We should be given references that Hazrat said this at this time. Hazrat said this. And it should be in our minds, fresh in our minds and our hearts. We should use that reference as a direction. Because this is where we have to be cautious. Do you understand? We have to be careful in our lives about what we're doing. We have to be cautious, careful, and have the topmost care and caution in our lives. And with the fadl and karam, Allah Ta'ala has given us special, precious grace and mercy of His, that He has given us this direction, this guidance. We should be so alert that we should never be lazy, negligent, ignorant. We should always know what we should be doing on a daily basis. This is the life we're living. So brother, such a great fact here that the Sahabi and Allah's Nabi Sallam gave one answer. One bad deed, sin he mentioned. And for us, sin is nothing. We think the biggest sin is nothing. We say, ah, forget it. I don't care. Such a big nasiha. And it's not a big deed. It's not a massive sin. Just one small thing. Rasulullah Sallam mentioned about one sin. But it's a massive thing that it will open. But if we do this action which will take us away from the sin, it will close the doors of hell. It will, and what will do? Open up Jannah for us and give us sakina and peace. But due to the one sin, even if it's wide as a hair, remember Rasulullah SAW has told us that that sin, that misdeed, that bad action is such that all of the murders taking place in the world, the fasad and the divorces in families, and people fight each other and beat each other, and people break the relations and cut the blood ties, and we think we have enmity and enemies in the world, and all of the kharafat and the loss, it is due to this one sin. It's due to this one bad action. So how big a thing would it be, tell me? How big a thing? We say it's nothing. Divorces happen, fighting, husband and wife quarreling, children, brothers, sisters fighting, a neighborhood, masjid, fights, quarreling, arguments, mulanas, scholars and musallis and people who pray, and masjids get locked up and you have arguments. The whole world is destroyed due to this one source, and it's spread so much, this action, so common. And due to this, we have the hal in the world today. Can we imagine that house of Allah, about which Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, in the masjid, don't speak loudly. This is the standard of the masjid. Don't speak loudly. I won't say the rest to you, fill in the blanks. You know what happens nowadays in the masjids. What happens, what doesn't happen? You know, you come, I come, we all see. Is this our deen? How we behave in the masjids? Is this madhab? Is this religion? Is this our salah and prayer when we come to the masjid? Is this our amal on the Quran? One hadith that I'm presenting to you today, Sahih al-Bukhari. Sahih hadith, Rasulullah SAW has given us nasiha, and he didn't tell us direct. Rather, he told to that one man who came and asked the question, imagine this. Will we practice on this hadith? Will we practice on this? And from this your life will be made, and your whole world and life here and hereafter will be made beautiful. Such an important thing Rasulullah SAW mentioned. What did he give? What was his guidance? When that sahabi said, oh Sani, Ya Rasulullah, please give me some nasiha, advice. And Rasulullah replied, and this was nasiha, guidance, advice. Then that man, mashallah, he went a step further. He said again the same word. He repeated the question, and Rasulullah repeated the answer. Then he asked the same question again, and Rasulullah repeated the answer again. For Darda Hirar, These are the words of the hadith. They kept on asking. Rasulullah gave the same answer. To this extent, it's quite a few times he asked, and quite a few times Rasulullah gave the same. Give me another nasiha. This one, the same nasiha. And again, look how important this must be. He asked the same question many times over, and Rasulullah gave the same answer. So it's very important, the answer. Rasulullah didn't give a new advice. He gave the same repeated advice. So Rasulullah, he said, "Oh, sani ya Rasulullah." Qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "La taktab bas." That's it. Just one word. Concise. "La taktab." Don't be angry. Don't come enraged. That's it. That became deen. Tell me. "La taktab." And he asked, "La taktab." Don't become angry and enraged. Don't become furious. Don't come into that state. Now, if we see what is anger, and a person who's enraged and furious, swearing to the mother, father, and fighting in the house, and enemies, and physical beatings, where does it start from? That has anyone ever had a fight when they're laughing and smiling at each other? So what comes first? What comes first? "Well, I was angry and I divorced my wife. Is there a way out, Mulana Sahab? I can go back to my wife. Oh, I was angry and I slapped this person. Oh, I was angry and I was going and he hit me and I became angry. Then I stabbed him with a knife and he's in the court case. The one thing, if it comes out of the condition of man, then all the courts will close, the FIRs and the investigations of policemen will finish, friendship will spread and become prevalent. Is this not right? The world will change, society will change, and the countries will change." Ah, la taktab. Rasulullah said that don't demonstrate anger. What a big piece of advice. Why? Because anger, fury, the direct link is with who? Direct with who? Shaitan. That this is the total 150% attribute of shaitan. Maybe other things aren't, but this is. So when a person becomes angry, he becomes shaitan. What does he become? Shaitan. Oh, Quran, Iman, everything goes. Have you not seen the masjid when people are fighting? See two people quarreling in the masjid. What? Enjoyment. Mulanas, they pick someone's neck, grab it and push it onto the wall or his head. What does this become? A person becomes like shaitan. The respect goes, no manners, no behavior, no ilm, no knowledge, no Quran, no friends, nothing. Everything is finished. And who makes us do this? And that person doesn't even stay as an insan. Because a human being, when he's angry, because when he follows the attributes of shaitan, then all the attributes of shaitan come into him at that time. All of the attributes of shaitan, they descend into that person. Mukambal totally becomes like shaitan's mirror, form, image. At that time. So when people fight, the shaitaniyat is into their body, into their bloodstream. My brothers, may Allah Ta'ala give me and you the way out and the route away from anger. We should try to be safe from this, control our anger. We should try to control our anger. We shouldn't go close to anger. And to a certain extent, we should try as hard as possible to save ourselves from anger. And to avoid it. Because anger is such a bad action that there's nothing that can protect us. We cannot understand what will protect a person from anger. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us this. Anger. But subhanAllah, once they were sitting and from a little distance, he saw the two men were speaking. Then they had a clash. And then loud voices, shouting, then argument, quarrel. And then what happened? Their faces became red. And it was like they were about to explode. You know when you see two people about to explode, then they start going, oh, and then the phone calls. Before it used to be, they were just shouting. Then you can't hear the other person. Then the third, fourth person, you can hear that person. What's happening? Oh, there's some problem going on at the moment. This is the scene we see, isn't it, in the world? So eyes are red. Then Allah's Nabi Sallam saw this. And the Sahaba said, we were seeing this, subhanAllah. Rasulullah says, rahmatul alameen, said that I have a kalima, a statement. That I have a kalima, a statement. If it is stated, if one of you people recites this, then suddenly, totally you will become normal, this person. Normal. Cool down. One kalima. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look how he spread the deen of beautiful behavior. and akhlaq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this kalama because Rasulullah sallam knew that that anger, ghadab, wrath. What is ghadab? Wrath. Do we know this? Where this comes? That's why Rasulullah sallam said taktab. That where does anger come from? It comes from wrath and fury. Ghadab. And who's got that ghadab? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah's ghadab comes on to a qawm, a nation, so anger comes from ghadab, from the wrath, from the extreme position. And on the person can be saved from one thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I've got a kalima, a verse you can recite, and suddenly you will cool down and become normal, and you will become detached from the anger. But you need a certain capacity and energy spiritually to recite this kalima. Otherwise, when a person's angry, he is not in his consciousness, not in his awareness, he's not in his senses. Like a person, for example, a jinn, if it influences a person says, how can I get this jinn away from me, out of me? It's controlling me. So a person's angry, he's spitting. So people, oh, no, 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 he's fighting. He says, leave me, leave me. And people are trying to pull him back. He says, leave me, leave me. I want to get this person. Have you ever seen this? Maybe it's happened with you or with me or other people when they're fighting. So this is the kalama Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And what is this? That there's only one thing that can save a person from anger. That just there's one savior, that go towards your Rabb and seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wahid, Allah ta'ala's refuge and protection can save a person from anger. Because remember, anger is the reflection of shaitan. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. That all of the anger and the result of anger is being driven by shaitan, because he's been given the full power and permission to deliver his message, and there can be nobody stronger than him in terms of evil. So he's got that power and energy. So if you want to go beyond the anger, if you want to get the power stronger than shaitan, then where do you get that from? For example, I've given you tashri and commentaries come to my mind. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. What is this kalima? What is this prayer? Now I tell you, this point is coming to mind. So if you understand what I'm saying, take it. If you don't understand it, then leave it. But I'm going to tell you this. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. So who is making us do the action of anger, implement anger and wrath? Shaitan, because Allah gave him strength. He can do this. And he was nothing himself. And he said, Allah, give me permission. That fair enough, give me permission until the day of judgment. Give me the ability to do, take your creation astray. So what do we do? Think now, we are saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. So Allah Ta'ala said that you need a bigger strength, a more powerful strength in relation to the shaitan. There can only be one greater power. Allah says, come back to me, and then you will overpower shaitan. Do you understand? Come to me, Allah Ta'ala said. That asks for my protection and refuge. Then how can shaitan come to that place, to my shade? Allah says that my refuge is my dhikr. Is this not the hadith? The shaitan runs away. He runs away. He melts. He says, where shall I go, where shall I go? Shaitan's running after a man, trying to influence him, and the man's running away from shaitan, and he goes and locks himself in the fort in the castle, and shaitan is locked out. And what is the fort in the castle? Dhikr Allah. But who understands today? We just laugh at it. We snigger at it. Dhikr of Allah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you want to be saved from shaitan, there's no power that you can save you, but only one. Turn to Allah and say, Allah, save me from shaitan. When you read the ta'awudh, then you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Allah is Rahim and Kareem, He will take you into his protection, and shaitan will melt, and you will become into your senses again. This is called, the jinn has come out of the person. The jinn. Or the anger. And this is the biggest dhikr. To turn to Allah. To come back to Allah. When a person becomes a dhakir, then always he is in the protection of Allah. Always in the refuge of Allah. Always. Not a second. But if we become negligent for a second, shaitan will come. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, rahmatullahi, great sheikh, great wali of Allah. Great, the king of the mashayikh. King of dhikr. He was the king dhakir. King. And can you say to him, be lazy for 1 second? He said, Allah, show me the shaitan. How does he come and influence people, and how does he get driven away? So Allah Ta'ala showed him in Muraqbah. Allah said, do one thing, Mujaddad, my wali, that you, your habit, leave it, and I'll show you within a second what shaitan does. Subhanallah. You leave your habit of dhikr, and then I'll show you shaitan how powerful he is. Because at the moment, he can't affect you. He can't come to you. He said, Allah, what is the habit of mine? And Allah Ta'ala said, stop dhikr for a few seconds. And then you stop saying my name, and then I'll show you the game of shaitan. That you don't know at the moment what is shaitan, what does he do? Because even for a second you are not lazy of my dhikr or mujaddad. You are in my protection and refuge. So what do you know? What is anger? Who is shaitan? What is sin? How he makes people mad? How he makes people fight? What do you know mujaddad about this? Allah said, because you are always in my shade, my protection. You are wandering in paradise. Not for a second do you know that what is shaitan. So mujaddad of Thani thought for a second, that just for a second leave my dhikr. Then Hazrat Mujaddad of Thani said, if I leave dhikr for a second, there will be a massive loss for me. Massive loss for me. I'll waste a second of my life. He even counted the seconds that he didn't do. He said, if I leave dhikr, and we say, Allah, Hazrat, give me kalbi zikr. These are all the people are playing games. They will all be accounted for. How long do we sit down and do dhikr and maraqabah? How long do we pay attention to Allah? Is my heart doing dhikr? The computer, if it crashes, we'll say, oh, the computer's crashed. Oh, what do? We need to reboot it. There's a bug, there's a virus. I have to send emails and messages. I have to communicate with people. Have you ever thought about your heart? Allah has given your heart. Is it alive? Is it functioning? Is it beating? Is it remembering Allah? Tell me. And not that while we're working, even we're sitting down like donkeys at home, we're sitting down, we'll never think, is my heart functioning? Is saying the dhikr, oh ki hala, oh how are you brother? You phone people, what's happening in Pakistan? What did she say? Imran Khan, his speech, did you hear it? Did you listen to this? We'll speak about this for hours. Imran Khan is your father? Will he come to your grave to save you? Tell me, Nawaz Sharif, Sharif Nawaz, will he come to your grave to save you? What link do they have with your hereafter, these people? These old drama and deception of the world. Not 1 second should we waste. 1 second. Mujaddad al-Thani, Allah Ta'ala said, Mujaddad, leave me for 1 second. And you'll see shaitan. He said, Mujaddad al-Thani, Ramdari, Allah, I can't leave your dhikr for a second. I'll be destroyed. I'm telling you the hal of the ummah today. Naqshbandi, I'm telling you. This is what a Naqshbandi should be. Man or woman. Woman or man. Sister, brother. We all say, Hazrat, give me dhikr. I want to become close to Allah. Teach me dhikr. And we came like this, all of us, to me, isn't it? And then look in your head now, that how much have you appreciated deception and fraud and lying. All our life, decades have passed. I swear by Allah, we've wasted our time. We've wasted so many, many hours and days and weeks and months. We cannot understand how we will cry. Allah Ta'ala, we could take our kids, we bring our kids, oh, can you teach my child dhikr? And can you tell my mother, can you tell my father how we ask? We tell. We explain and Allah Ta'ala will give dhikr. But oh, immodest people, think for a second of what did you do with the name of Allah when you were taught it? Did you implement it? Did you remember Allah? Did you practice the deen? Think for a second. Think for a second. The amount of time we have wasted, that we have the one thing which will give us salvation, forgiveness and success until the end of the time. We say, oh, I don't want this battery to finish. The phone's battery is dying. The computer's crashing. Oh, my car, the tire's punctured. How will I get there tomorrow? Have we ever thought that my heart, is it alive? Is my heart alive? Is my heart saying Allah? We should at least ask our hearts this. That why are you quiet, heart? Knock on the heart. Why are you not beating to the name of Allah? Ask your heart. Why are you not mentioning Allah's name? I gave you this sabak, heart. My shaykh gave me this sabak. Why is your heart not beating and saying Allah, Allah, Allah? Have you asked your heart this ever? That heart, do your job. You function. After a few seconds, point to your heart. After a few seconds, when you take your phone into the masjid, oh, and you start showing your teeth to people laughing in the masjid while you're praying salah. So bad and immodest, I'm amazed, I'm shocked that we cannot imagine. We are so immodest and without shame. We have no bagharat. You know the person who's bagharat, he has no shame. Salah time, we're going to the masjid, we have the phone. We don't leave the dunya. We don't leave the dunya at home, in the masjid, in the house of Allah. We're so mad and crazy on this technology and communication. Astaghfirullah. And we start crying. I cry on this and I laugh on this. Subhanallah. What a qawm Allah Ta'ala has made. What an ummah there is today. No shame, no haya, no immodesty, no understanding, no gharat, no feeling, no remorse, no feeling about sin, no respect for the teachers, for the deen, for the knowledge, nothing. I'm just wasting our time. I'm giving nasiha. Otherwise, brothers, I don't have no need to speak. I don't have. Allah will ask you tomorrow. Allah will ask me tomorrow. I gave you dhikr. I gave you my deen. How long did you sit down and do my dhikr? In 24 hours. Did you sit down for 1 second? That you come to the majlis 5-10 minutes and you think you're the dhakir. Oh my servant, in 24 hours I gave you deen and thousands and millions of breaths that come out of your body. Have you ever thought how many breaths have I exhaled with the name of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr? Have I ever thought this? No. No, 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 I'm going to Aisha Masjid, then the next Masjid, then Hazrat will be there, and we'll sit down for 5 minutes, and I'm the dhakir, and I remember Allah, I'm better than everybody. What kind of dhikr is this? Don't say, don't take badly what I'm saying. I'm also with you on this. So Hazrat Mujaddad of Thani thought, Allah, leave your dhikr for a second. No, no, Allah can't leave your dhikr. Then Allah Ta'ala said, then I can't show you shaitan. Because shaitan is not linked with your Mujaddad, because you are the dhakir. So do you want to do this?
then I will tell you tomorrow in the tomorrow's Muraqabah, I will explain to you. Then he sat down in Muraqabah the next day, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, rahmatullah, and he thought, shall I see Shaitan for a second? Doesn't matter. He said to Allah, okay Allah, no problem. Allah Ta'ala, okay, show me. Then Allah said, stop for a second my dhikr then. So for how long is one moment? Not even a split second. Is that a piece of time? Just a second. Split second. But Allah is Rahim. That maybe Allah Ta'ala put into his ears that for a moment you will stop my dhikr, but I will compensate. Well, I said that you're not leaving my dhikr, I'm making you stop my dhikr, so my rahmah will compensate for that. So I'm just giving you yaqeen. That Allah Ta'ala said, I told this to the prophets. Did Hazrat Ibrahim get the message? That Hazrat Ibrahim said, Allah, I just want to do yaqeen. I just want to see. There's no other point. So this is the same words of Hazrat Mujaddad. So for a second he stopped dhikr of Allah and he saw. Look at Shaitan, brothers. He has got so much power and influence that no one can be saved from Shaitan. He is the all-powerful beneath Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only one power can save us from Shaitan. One power. And who is that? Allah Ta'ala's protection. That's A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajim. Do you understand what is A'udhu Billah? This is A'udhu Billah, brothers. Allah save me. Allah, I'm doomed. I'm falling into the hell. When a person says, Allah save me, Allah says, you are saved because you remembered me. Come to my protection. A'udhu Billahi. A'udhu is protection. Ta'awudh, direct request from Allah. Just like I say, you know, people come and say, oh, please, please, save me, save me. This person's running after me. He's going to beat me. And people do, what do they do? What's the statement they say? Asylum. That's it. Political asylum. Political refuge. People come to this country. Please give us refuge, asylum. So Allah says, if you're coming for my asylum, to receive my asylum, then imagine the passport. Now you understand, don't you? When I talk about the dunya, you understand. So this is asylum. Yeah, just like people leave the world countries and come here to the UK. Please give me political asylum. They give you a flat and food and benefits and money. So imagine when Allah gives asylum, what protection you get. So should we not ask for Allah's asylum? On every question, Allah give me asylum. Allah give me asylum. Allah says, my asylum is the best. You'll get food, the palaces, Jannah, paradise. It won't be given this country here. You'll get a flat, an apartment. Oh, can you give me a job? And they'll give you some money every week. That's it. But Allah's asylum, imagine when you ask Allah for protection, what you'll get. Can there be a greater protection than Allah? Greater gifts. What a beautiful tafsir. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, so when you think of the word asylum and someone says to you, yeah, I came here on political asylum. Say, oh, you've come here. I'm taking Allah's asylum in the hereafter in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person asks Allah for protection, Allah grabs that person. Allah's rahmah envelopes that person. In triage, Allah's Nabi Sallam said, just do this. Whenever you see evil, then go into Allah Ta'ala's protection. Nobody can save that person. So when Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani stopped dhikr for a second, Shaitan was so powerful, and what he is, he's cursed, he's wretched, but he's got the power in the world. And what did he do in that second? Tuck! He grabbed hold of that second, he grabbed the heart. He influenced what? The heart. And he saw, he said, see Mujaddad, what I can do. And then Shaitan, he has different forms and images. Different appearances. Sometimes he wears imama, sometimes he's got a beard, he'll have a topi. I've seen him with a topi when he's trying to grab people. You know the topi that people have, the Pathan topi. Saw him in that form. He takes different forms and appearances. Shaitan is powerful, and he'll put his hand in your hand. You'll think, oh mashallah, this is Pious person, he's haji. But he's Shaitan. He has one recognition. When you start doing dhikr, if you start doing dhikr, he'll say, okay, I'll see you in the evening. Then you know. If he comes in the evening, he's a dhikr. But if he says, no, I can't come dhikr, he's Shaitan. Shaitan, there's one sign of Shaitan. The difference between human being and Shaitan is that insan, the human being, a good person, he's pious, he will love the dhikr of Allah, he will run and say it loudly, he will go, he will attach himself, and Shaitan, he will run 180 degrees opposite direction to dhikr. He will melt due to the heat of dhikr. And this is the sign, and this is the way to recognize a genuine person. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's nothing to argue on this. Very easy definition, isn't it? Nothing to argue about. So you say, oh, this man's from another group, he's the group of Shaitan, he doesn't like dhikr. Anyway, I'm not saying this, Allah Ta'ala himself stated in hadith. Is this not hadith that mentions this? Yes. So if you want, Allah Ta'ala says, if you want to see who is my servant and my lover, then see the dhakir, those who remember me. And if you want to see who are my enemies, then see those who run away from my remembrance. This is the meaning of the hadith. I'm not saying this for my own self. So brothers, Mujaddad al-Aftani, rahmatullah, when he saw that split second, when he stopped doing dhikr of Allah, what did Shaitan become? He came in the form of a different person. He became a mosquito. A mosquito at that time, for that split second, Shaitan, and he sat on his heart, and then see what he's doing. Mujaddad al-Afthani, the Mujaddad, the reviver of the deen after 1,000 years, agreed by every single scholar. But no other wali of Allah got this title. Ghawth and Qutb and Abdal, they were big shots.
big walis of Allah. But Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, the wali of Allah after 1,000 years who came to revive the deen. Mujaddad, after 100 years Mujaddad come, but one after 1,000 years, as stated by Rasulullah ﷺ, wahid, one individual. Imagine his status, how great. And who was he? Because he came to revive the deen. And from which blood did he come? From which offspring? Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. He is the direct descendant Farooqi. And when somebody comes from Farooqi blood, then he's direct differentiator of the deen. And he spreads the deen in a great and a beautiful way with love and muhabbat. And he explains to people what is deen. And there's no deception, no two ways. He doesn't deceive because it's Farooqi blood. And who is Farooqi? The person who comes, the one who does Farak. Farak differentiates between Haq and Batil, between truth and falsehood. He doesn't beat people or kill or let blood flow. No, Farooq, he creates Farak. Differentiation, he differentiates. This is halal, haram. This is haq and batil. This is right and wrong. And how the people listen and understand. They say, yeah, we really understand what he's saying. And the blood of Farooq has this effect. Take the history. All of the people who came from Farooqi family in the history of mankind, from Abu Aqabineen, look at their effect. How they served the deen of Islam. And they came on that maqam when deen was becoming spoilt. When deen was being spoilt in the figure of Islam, then Allah Ta'ala revives the deen from that family. From that family. So when he saw what was Shaitan doing, the mosquito, he sat on the heart. You know the mosquito, he pinches in it. He bites and he bit the heart of Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani. When he bit, then Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani became drowsy. Drowsy. And he started, his mind started to wander, and the waswasa came into the minds of Hazrat Mujaddad. The whispering of Shaitan. Allah, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajeem. Suddenly he said that, and Allah Ta'ala expelled that mosquito. So he saw both forms within a second. He said, Allah, your shan, your greatness, your power. So tell me, if the mosquito lays his eggs on your heart, then what will happen? Here the mosquito just bit, and Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani became drowsy. He said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, and he was saved. So Allah Ta'ala says, when a person is lazy from dhikr, however long he doesn't do dhikr, then shaitan bites the heart of that person and creates the whispering in his ear. When a person does dhikr, then shaitan runs for tens of miles, and you is being seen from the eyes. Is this not written in the kitabs? It's written in the kitabs. I'm not saying this. So brothers, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown to the prophets and to the awliyaullah, given them experiences, but we don't want to understand, and we don't want to think, and we don't care about our hearts. We keep on giving shaitan a house in our heart. Brothers, do the dhikr of Allah, create Allah's name in your heart, get away from laziness, come towards the deen, understand sharia, understand the deen, may Allah ta'ala's love come into our hearts. And the most important thing is that the sin, which is the heading, the disease, ghadab, anger. Oh, my children, they get angry. Why do they get angry? You know, I keep getting angry on the children. Subhanallah, it's your children, it's your blood. So why are you enraged with them? Why? Oh, they keep pestering me. They're pestering you because Allah Ta'ala wants to elevate your status. Don't you understand? That why? Because Allah Ta'ala has given you a ni'mah. And if Allah says that, I want to see that, how much do you have patience for your children? So won't you get the reward? If you're patient, for example, you're in a factory, you're a worker, and you're told you have to spin this machine, you keep spinning that machine and you're sweating, and will you leave it? Oh, no. That if I don't spin it, then I won't get the result. But if I leave it, then I won't get the result. But if I keep spinning it, I'll get the money at the end of the day. So Allah Ta'ala has given you children who are born into your household in your lap, and maybe he's a bit naughty, like Shaitan, he'll jump up and down, he'll throw food on the walls, he'll mess about. He's a child, he's going to do that. And you become angry. Allah Ta'ala says, amazing. Why are you angry? The Allah Ta'ala says, my ni'mah, the gift I've given to you, and you're angry on this. So speak, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, utter this. And that woman, she should start doing wird and recite this, Allah, I seek refuge and protection from you. Such a great ni'mah of Allah. Allah has given me a ni'mah. If he's naughty, Allah knows best, then child knows best. I've been given a duty. Allah Ta'ala has assigned me the child, so I have to look after the child. I have to protect the child. It's not mine. It's not my child. It's not mine. The children, Allah Ta'ala gave me this child. I'm giving you a gift. He's your child, and you have to rear that child, nourish that child, and look after that child. You're not doing a favor on that child. Am I right or am I wrong? So don't, your fathers and grandfathers and nanas and dadas who are sitting here, you should understand. Don't become angry. Oh, I'm angry on the child over little things. Oh, the customer came and he said this and I was angry on him. Amazing. Allah Ta'ala sent the customer to you. So you should be proud. Allah Ta'ala says, when I send you customers, as rizq he's bringing to you, the customer. Rizq is bringing you the wealth. Some people, the walis of Allah, when the customer comes, they give them coke and tea and sit them down. If they buy something or not, a garment or not. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says, the customer I sent to you, and he brings rizq to you, the customer. So rizq comes from Allah. So you should host that customer. It's your choice whether you take it or not. I saw Karachi people like this. The friends of Allah, mashallah, the wali of Allah, his business is beautiful and unique. He said, I've come to get something. He said, you've come to look at my stuff, my products. Allah Ta'ala sent you, sit down. Allah said, clearly that I send the customers. So the wali, he was the host, and he hosted the customer beautifully. A taxi, your taxi driver, you keep looking at the meter, how much money you've earned. Look at the customer, treat him nicely, politely, with love. Appreciate the customer. Have manners and good behavior with the customer. If your garments are spoiled and he comes back for a return, refund the items. This hadith, speak to the customer with love. Don't think that he is a burden on you. Allah Ta'ala says, I don't want tomorrow I put you on the earth and I put him on the higher position, that your employee becomes your boss and you become the employee, and then he's looking down at you. Allah Ta'ala says, everything comes from me, everything is in my control. On every maqam and second of life, we should think we are dependent on Allah. And remember that Allah says, the customer and the people in the world around us are better than us. We should consider ourselves lower. So anger, what is anger? And wrath and fury. If today I'm on a post, a high position in a company. Yeah, civil servant or position. And I've got a high post and somebody who's lower than me, I'll be angry. Why didn't you bring the file, throw the file back to him? Why didn't you do this? And he says, yesterday, brother, we were on the same level rank. And today, my friend, what's happened to you? And he's becoming angry, the boss, because he's sitting high up on the chair. And he's got the promotion. My brother's anger, if we analyze anger and start scanning it, then all of the illnesses, the root cause of all the illnesses that me and you, that we will earn, kibar, pride, comes from anger. Kibar. That pride, if a person has pride, then he becomes angry. Because shaitan has this deficiency of anger and wrath and fury. He didn't know about any other thing, other sin. He knows one sin, ghadab. He says, this is enough for me, anger, fury. And a person who's enraged, if a person becomes enraged, that's enough for me to him to become punished. He says, I don't know anything else, any other sin. Nothing else. This is what I propagate and I teach. He said, one sin is enough for me, enough. I don't know about backbiting and slander and other sins. He said, I have no need for this. He said, direct, I bring a person into pride, into shirk, into anger, and I make that person the big sinner. And I give him that advice that I don't tell people to backbite and slander and speak about others and gossipmonger. I tell them to do the biggest sin. Subhanallah. And today everyone is implementing this sin. Shaitan, he doesn't run after the small sins. He says, I don't want to waste my time. These many, I want to take three customers from all of the sinners, and I want them to be totally detached from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want them to do shirk and be proud. Oh, you're lower than me. Why did you do this? Why did you say this? Why didn't you do this? And inside that person's nothing. Sab. You keep on saying to the person, sab, because of his money, his rank. When he's got money, a few pounds here and there, he spends it and wastes it, and he starts to become proud that he's rich and better than other people. How can this be? Everything comes from Allah. Even when the money comes from Allah, and we become angry so easily. Where's the water? Why didn't you bring it? What did you do? Why didn't you do this? Etc. And start scolding people because they're lower than you in the rank. Allah Ta'ala says that, what did I do then? Allah says that anger is there. And shaitan, Allah Ta'ala broke shaitan. Allah Ta'ala said, I break shaitan and his power and his influence. So Allah Ta'ala has put something fitrat and natural inside us. Allah says that you like to become angry, isn't it, O human being? Allah said, okay, become angry then. What a beautiful point Allah Ta'ala said. That you have passion for becoming angry. You like that, you are born now. Allah said, okay, become angry then. And then what will Allah give? Allah says, I'll give you paradise. And I'll give you the big mansions and the palaces and the hoods on anger? Allah said on anger. Who is saying this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, but you just said that, read, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, don't be angry. Now you're saying you'll give everything if we're angry. How? Allah Ta'ala said, don't be angry on worldly things, become angry on deeny things. If someone's not praying salah in your house, then be angry on him, you'll get paradise. If your wife, she cooks chapati wrong, and you're angry with her, you'll get hellfire. But if a child doesn't pray salah and you throw the slippers on the child, then yes, you will get the paradise. Oh, why didn't you go to work? Why didn't you earn money? Why don't you have a job? You don't know how to work. You're not making any money. Oh, don't become angry on this. You never said, son, did you go to pray salah in the masjid? No. Don't know. He's a child. He's a kid. Don't ask him. Oh, give him a gaddi. Oh, give him some money. He'll be okay. Lanatullah on such a household. This is our hal today. That at least if he doesn't pray salah, at least become angry. At least show some anger. At least say, for the sake of Allah, my children, pray salah or something. No, I can't tell my children to pray. He doesn't know how to work. He hasn't studied. We have to emphasize on this. Allah says, become angry on my deen. Do it like Hazrat Farooq Azam, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, subhanAllah. Who doesn't have anger? But have deen, anger on deen is halal, but anger on dunya is haram. So has Allah Ta'ala not given us the control now, how to utilize anger? Allah says, if you really like to become angry, and you don't have the understanding, then Allah says, come towards my side. So if you want to be angry, stern, or have fikr and worry and concern, then do that on the deen, on the path of Islam. Things related to the, how dare we do actions against Sharia? No, I will not accept this. Not in my house, no, you cannot. You can become angry for this. That if somebody is not following the deen, relative, children, family, then yes, you can have anger for this, and Allah Ta'ala's help will come as a result of this. So brothers, what I was trying to say is that may Allah Ta'ala give our islah, rectify us, the words that I've mentioned, the broken down words, may Allah Ta'ala accept my words and give us rectification, islah, me and you. Remember what I said, that from the morning we have to practice, that what do we do? That always meet people with a smiling face. Don't look like monkeys and apes. Whenever you become angry, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani. When you're doing the work of the dunya, someone breaks your glass or your house or the windows, don't say nothing. Say A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Where you see that someone's late in salah, stand up firm. Not beat him with the hands. Be angry. Why are you not praying? Why don't you go to pray salah? Why are you not praying? Why don't you believe in Allah? Why don't you practice? Why don't you remember Allah? And you should have that fire in your heart of the anger. That's anger. Not you beating them and breaking the windows. Why are you not praying, throwing the glasses, or break the person's nose, astaghfirullah, and create facade in the home. This is not the tariqah. This is not the tariqah. So a person, if you have anger, control the anger and implement it in the right way, in the balanced way. And according to that person's capacity, to children, explain to them, exhort them. And make this point here, that Allah Ta'ala, I am fed up of this insan, he's not listening. May Allah give your father to this person, you have that fire in your heart, that rage. Allah knows that you are angry with that person, he's not praying salah. Allah Ta'ala then corrects that person's son or daughter, and brings them towards the deen. So brothers, there are big points, the walis of Allah have explained to us. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do amal on this. Ameen.